This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Ageless sexuality. That's what we're going to talk about today. Sex at every age. You know we are all living longer as human beings. And even though we live longer, we still can remain sexual until the day that we leave this earth. But too often, as soon as you reach a certain age, it seems like there are no images out there for older folks being sexual and experiencing pleasure. People aren't talking about it, or people are just making the assumption seniors don't have sex. Well, I'm really glad to welcome back this guest. Joan Price calls herself an advocate for ageless sexuality. She's the author of four noteworthy books about sex and aging, including the award-winning Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex. And her latest book is Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved. Joan is known by American and global media as the voice of senior sex. Her award-winning blog has been offering senior sex news, views, and sex toy reviews since 2005. At age 76, Joan continues to talk out loud about senior sex, partnered or solo. She is the co-creator of Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, the Senior Sex Edition. And you can find out more about her and her books on joanprice.com. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Joan.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you again.
You've had a really productive year or two. We have a lot to talk about, not one project, but several. I want to start with your book, Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved. So one of the things that struck me right away is I'm so glad this book was published because it seems like a quote unquote like narrow or niche topic. And yet, as you say in the opening, there are a lot of books about grief and many of them either don't mention or barely mention sex and pleasure.
Most of them don't mention it. Almost all of them ignore sex, or if they mention it at all, it's usually just with a warning, don't do anything you'll regret while you have grief brain. And golly, that's just so far from the kind of advice I want to give.
I also think it's great that you blast the myth that there's such a thing as like too soon to start getting back into dating. I just had Chris Donahue on a couple months ago talking about his new book, Rebel Love. And he says like the whole idea of like the bounce back or lover, like right after you have a big breakup and that you shouldn't be dating or having sex right after you break up with someone is crap. I mean, he just totally dispels it and dismantles it. And you have a similar opinion, but like people should get back to dating and sex when they're ready.
When they're ready. And that's the thing. There's no timeline. There's no such thing as dating too early or having sex too early or too soon or waiting too long to have it. either. I have a whole chapter in Sex After Grief about the myths about sex and grieving that we're fed, and many of them we've internalized. And so much of it is that timeline. People will tell us, you shouldn't be dating so soon. Or they'll tell us, you should get back to dating by now. And all that's telling us, that tells us nothing about us, tells us nothing about our grief and how it's affecting us, or our need for sex, our desire for sex. All it's saying is that other people are uncomfortable with the way we're doing it. Well, that's just too bad.
Well, it just seems like people have a lot of expectations and opinions about other people's dating lives.
Don't they?
Yes, they really do. And it's true. There's a lot of unsolicited advice, especially around dying and grief, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And to give other people the credit that I think they're due, they care about us. They want to help. They don't know how. They just don't know how. Often they'll tell us something that's wildly inappropriate for us, or we receive it as inappropriate. And I like to think it's not their fault. They just don't know any better. So it's really helpful if we then tell them how to help us better. And in the book, in that the myth section, I also have some ways you can answer them. You can say, I know that worked for you, but I'm different. Or this doesn't need fixing, thank you. Or you can say, that's not helpful if it's if you just want to clamp it down right at the source. I'm sorry, that's not helpful. Moving on.
And there are quotes from real people, which are really great throughout the book, and stories. And, you know, one of the things that struck me is that if you've had the same lover for 10, 20, 30 years, which some of these folks in the book did.
Yes.
It's different than fucking someone for 2 years and then being like, okay, that person's not in my life anymore. I mean, in many cases, this was their only lover for many, many, many years, decades of their life.
That's right.
And how do you begin to process that one person who you've been vulnerable with, who you've sort of like laid yourself bare to, and who knows your body and your pleasure, you know, better than anyone else? Like, how do you process that?
Well, that's really the reason for the book, and the reason that I included so many other people, as you mentioned, who share their own attitudes and experiences, is that if my message is we all grieve differently, we're already differently, we all experience a new person differently, well, then obviously I can't be the only one. I can't be the only voice in this book. So I invited other people to send me their experiences and their understanding of how to work through grief and get back to sexuality, or even get back to love. And so they all sent me these wonderful, wonderful attitudes and experiences and anecdotes. And that's, I think, what makes the book really significant, is that you don't have to do it the way I did. I mean, I had my great love, Robert, and we've talked about my grief over losing Robert before. I remember we did that in an interview earlier. But I was with him for 7 years, and I had had many lovers before him. And so my experience of trying to recapture my sexuality would be necessarily different from someone who was with the same person for 58 years, for example. And maybe someone who had never had another lover other than that one person. So I have lots of different people. And the suggestions I have are not for doing it the way I did or the way anyone else did, but figuring out how to do it your way. So I have some exercises at the end of every chapter that help people use the information they just learned and make it their own, and then figure out what's going to work for them moving forward.
So one of the things I found the most unexpected, because you do share your experiences, which I think are really helpful. And thank one you. Of the things you recommend in the book is get yourself a fuck buddy.
That worked for me.
Which is like so like you, Joan. But it actually made some sense, because it was sort of like you're not quite ready to go. Like find another great love or be in a relationship, but you want to be sexual again.
Well, that's the thing. We may be ready sexually before we're ready emotionally for a new partner. So how do we do that? Obviously, we do it with our own hands and sex toys, but we may want to experience the warmth of someone's skin. We want to experience someone else surprising us sexually. And the thing about our own hands and sex toys is we know exactly what's going to happen next. And some of the delight of sex is to experience what you don't know is going to happen next. So how do we then get someone else to participate in our sexual experience when we're not ready emotionally to connect with someone new? So there are other ways of doing that. And yes, a friend with benefits is one good way.
You know, I just think, again, at every turn of the page in this book, you are busting myths. And I think people really think this sort of friend with benefits is a young person thing, in scare quotes. So that's why I love you that you introduce it as a potential strategy.
Thank you. I accept your love and love you back.
Well, I also think it was interesting to hear how folks sometimes have the flip side, which they may in fact want companionship and dating before they want sex.
That's right. And many people do want that. And many people want that kind of companionship and dating and don't know if they'll ever want sex again. So part of what I'm doing in this book, and it's a little book, it sounds as we're talking, it must be this really big book. No, it's a little book. But part of it is, how do you then talk to a potential date or a potential sex partner about what you would like, what you wouldn't like, and where are the hard limits, and how do we explore the soft limits? So all of that is, I think, important to help guide people. Because who do you talk to about it? And the book is not just for seniors. But if we think about it, people my age have a lot more trouble finding people to talk to about these sexual issues than younger people would.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually anyone who is in a long-term relationship and loses their person, we get out of practice, don't we?
Yes, we do. We shouldn't, because communicating about sex is important within a long-term relationship also. It's important all the way through, and we often lose that. We think, oh, well, we know each other so well that obviously my partner knows exactly what I want and when. And when has that ever been true?
Never. I guaranteed never. Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we are going to talk more with Joan Price about sex after grief. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about one of her amazing co-creations. It's the movie Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, the senior sex edition. So I can't wait to talk about that. Stay with us, more when we return. Hey everyone, Tristan here. The Pleasure Chest continues falling in lust in November. This month, their Pleasure Ed program of free sex ed classes features Threesomes with Tina Horn, Midori's Dirty Fun Rope Tricks, Advanced Double Penetration, 50 Things to Do with Your Hands, and Edging 101 Erotic Sexual Denial. And forget Black Friday, but do not miss the Pleasure Chest's sexiest sale of the year, which starts Wednesday, November 27th, and runs through Cyber Monday, December 2nd. There'll be 20% off site-wide, plus all Fun Factory products will be 25% off during that time. And that's not all. Enjoy free shipping on all purchases on Cyber Monday, December 2nd. Go to pleasurechest.com to see all the events, take advantage of these super savings, and get your holiday shopping done early. Use promo code Tristan at checkout for a free massage candle with any purchase. That's a great thing to give for Secret Santa or that last-minute holiday hostess gift. You may know me for creating various forms of media centered around sexuality, gender, relationships, feminism, and pop culture. I'm ready to take a big risk and do something completely different, and I hope you might join me. I'm working on a family memoir focused on my own coming-of-age story woven in with my father's. It's a story about growing up, multi-generational queer experience and history, love, loss, and the meaning of home. I started it, and I hope to have it completed by the end of 2019. This isn't just a new book, though. It is way outside my comfort zone, and I've been wanting to write it for years. But I've been kind of terrified to share this personal story with the public. I mean, I'm comfortable telling you about my love of butt plugs, but it feels way scarier to tell you about my family, my innermost thoughts, my mental health, and one of the most significant events in my life, the death of my father. If you want to support me in my writing, you can go to patreon.com/TristanTaramino. Thanks.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guest is Joan Price, who is the doyenne of ageless sexuality. We're talking about her newest book, Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved. Another thing that you talk about in this book is kind of navigating the world of online dating, which, you know, I think people do need help and advice with. And one thing that interested me was that when you first went into online dating, you put a profile out there that said you wanted to connect with widowers only. So tell me about the reasons behind that and then the kind of results.
I was trying to find my way back into dating and sexuality. I wasn't looking for another committed partner, but I did want to get sexual again, and I did want to enjoy the companionship of people I wanted to date, in my case, men. And yet, I wasn't done with grief. I didn't know if I would ever be done with grief. I know now that we are never done with grief. We get through it. We don't get over it. But I thought only someone who's also been through this would understand if I, say, lapsed into present tense talking about Robert and then realized I had to correct myself and put it in past tense. Or if we were walking and we passed this particular bench where Robert and I had kissed, and maybe I just glanced at the bench and burst into tears. How would I do that with someone who'd never been through what I was going through? So I thought only a widower would really understand, and also understand that we need silences in figuring out how we're going to talk about something without talking about our dead spouses or our dead partners. Because we also don't want a date to be, well, let's compare notes about our dead partners. I mean, that's not a good idea how to go on a date. However, we also can't not talk about what we're going through. So I thought I probably should only date widowers, at least for now. Now, I live in a small town, and it is a half hour from the nearest mid-sized city and an hour and a half from the nearest big city. So I discovered just for myself that limiting dates to widowers was just limiting the dating pool too much, unless I wanted to travel the full hour and a half to get to the nearest big city. So I ended up just giving bonus points for being a widower rather than it being a requirement. And that worked out, but it also turned out that when I dated widowers, it seemed to go best. I do want to say, though, that the problem with dating only other widowed people is you may find you have nothing else in common with that person. Okay, what do we talk about besides that we're both widowed? Maybe we don't have the same interests at all. Maybe there's no chemistry between us. Maybe it's just not going to work out. All we have in common is that we're widowed. So that was another problem I encountered. How do you do this? It turned out, eventually, was able to put everything together. And I am seeing someone now who is a widower, and so had that going for him, and also we have many things in common. So it's possible to find everything. But when you're starting out, I think it might, unless you're in a big city, just limit the prospects too much to only want to date people who are widowed.
I think this is also a great point about, well, I think even when I break up with someone and then I get into another relationship, often that person is sort of present in my next relationship.
Yes.
And I feel like, and it's because, you know, you spent a long time with them, or you lived with them, or, you know, you were partnered to that for a long time. And so it's hard to like not feel that absence. And I'm wondering how you navigate having these people who were totally important to you, having them be remembered, having them present in your lives, but not in a way that, I guess, challenges the present relationship?
Well, that's a hard thing to do, Tristan, and you're right. It's really important, and why do we never get dating advice about that, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that if we realize that we are taking within us everything we learned from that relationship and what we learned about ourselves, what we received from that person, what we learned to give, how we learned to love, that becomes part of us now. So if we are getting into a new relationship, whether it's just for sex or whether it's a fuller, more committed relationship, who we are now, what we have to bring to that relationship, is because we were able to absorb so much from our previous relationship or relationships. So I don't think we should go, okay, I have to put that totally out of my mind. No, that's who I am. That's woven in the fabric of what I am presenting to a new person now. And everything that that person has lived and the people he's loved and how he's been loved and how he's given love, that's all a part of what he has to offer now too. I'm only using that pronoun just to use a pronoun. It could be any gender, of course. So I think, And as we get older, I think we understand that better about ourselves because we've had so many years of experience. I've had now 76 years of experience, so I'm not the same person in approaching a new person, dating a new person, having sex with a new person than I was at 20, 30, 40, or even 50.
What was the online dating experience like for you? Is that how you met your current partner?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
that's so how did you? Is. Yeah, what was it like for you as a senior?
Well, it was crappy at first.
Okay.
Because, you say I always recommend. I have a dating workshop that's also available as a webinar now. It's called "How the Heck Do I Date at This Age?" And I've been teaching this workshop for probably 7 or 8 years. and I just met the person that I'm seeing 2 years ago. So, I had a lot of dating experiences that did not pan into anything. Some that were quite pleasant. Many that I felt at first were a waste of time. And then I realized, well, no, there's no such thing as a waste of time when you're getting to know a new person. You are learning about yourself. You're learning, you're practicing how to date, in quotes. How do I date? How do I date having lost the person that I wanted to be with forever? How do I do this now? How do I present myself? What do we talk about? How do I, what qualities am I looking for? And I thought this person had those qualities, but clearly something isn't working. So how can I now revise the qualities I'm looking for? And I also always tell people in my dating workshop, there's no such thing as a bad date. There's only a good story.
Oh my gosh, the good dates, stories of the worst first dates. Absolutely.
The worst first dates make the best stories.
Yeah.
And I have certainly capitalized on my worst dates and stories that I give in speeches.
Another thing you talk about in the book is caring for a partner for a length of time, essentially as they're dying. And there being, of course, grief and in some cases trauma for people as they become a caregiver or the primary caregiver of their spouse or partner. How does that change the dynamic if someone, for example, took care of a partner who was ill for 5 or 6 or 7 years and then they died?
There are several people who wrote excerpts for my book who were in that situation, that they were the caregiver of the of their loves, their great loves, maybe for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. So they did so much grieving during that time that often when the person died, I want to say finally died, but it's not the that they were going, oh, I can't wait till you die. No, they were saying, I want you well again. I am suffering with you because of what you're going through, and I can't change it. All I can do is make you comfortable. You know, that's a horrible way to endure life and to see the death of a partner slowly, bit by bit. So often with that kind of grief that's already gone on for years, when the partner dies and they think, now my love is free of pain, is free of suffering, and I'm here alone, and I need to find joy again. I need to find what joy looks like now. I need to find companionship. I need to be held. I need to be sexual. I need to be able to experience life again. And yeah, that often propels them into dating and sex faster than other people think they should be doing it. You know, what? You're dating already? What? You have a new partner, but your wife has only been dead a month?
But again, other people's opinions.
Exactly.
Other people's fucking opinions.
And what they don't understand is what you've been going through all along. And you're not replacing. That's another thing that's really important for people who are grieving to understand and to communicate to the people who care about them but don't get this. I'm not replacing my loved one. I'm not trying to replace my loved one. My heart is still full with the person that I lost, with the person that maybe we all loved, because sometimes it's the adult children who are giving that kind of, what? Dad, you're dating again and mom just died. I'm not trying to replace her. I need to find joy in my life again. And you know what? While we are alive, if we are partnered, it is really important. I urge everyone who's listening to this to turn to the person that they love and give them permission to find joy again in the arms of a new person when we die.
That's lovely. Okay, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Joan's role in creating Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, the Senior Sex Addiction Edition. I don't know what is wrong with
addiction.
Me today.
Okay.
it's not an addiction. But this is porn and sex ed like you have never seen it before. Trust me, there's a lot to talk about. So stay with us. Lately, it seems like everyone is talking about self-care. Well, taking care of your body and mind is important. For me, maintaining a sexual relationship with myself is part of my self-care routine. I love mixing it up, and I like a little inspiration on that front. Sometimes holding the phone to watch something just doesn't work for me. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories to inspire and arouse. This isn't like an audiobook. It's more like hearing someone tell you the details of an escapade or listening in on an actual sex scene. It's pretty immersive that way. It's like having someone right in your earbuds. The stories are high quality, they're well produced, and they're all original. I like it because you can select from different categories. Hello, BDSM. And you can get a flavor of each one from the descriptions. You can choose men with women, women with women, and they're growing their men with men selections. Start one, then jump to another if that one's not for you. The majority are about 10 minutes long. And for you, my listeners, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/Tristan. That's right. Get your first 30 days free when you go to dipsystories.com/Tristan. dipsystories.com/Tristan. Then call me and tell me what your favorites are.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to shout out my amazing sponsor who makes the show possible, The Pleasure Chest. Go to pleasurechest.com. You can click on events and see all their free sex ed classes throughout the month. And if you buy something, which you should because you deserve it, use the promo code Tristan at checkout and you'll get a free massage candle. So I'm talking with Joan Price, who is an internationally known expert on what she calls ageless sexuality. She's written books about senior sex, and she also collaborated with the amazing adult performer and sex educator, Jessica Drake. Jessica has a line of sex ed films called The Guide to Wicked Sex series. And Joan is the co-creator and also appears in the Senior Sex Edition. I still want to say addiction. Edition. Okay, Joan, this is an amazing, amazing video. I just want to let people know that they should run out and get it. I think you can watch it on wicked.com, among other places. Let's see. First of all, the camera loves you.
Oh, thank you.
You are so sort of bright and cheery and also very authentic and just accessible and warm. And really, while you're talking about these things that are quite taboo to talk about, sex is taboo still to talk about in America, but it's even more taboo to talk about seniors having sex. And so you just are like everyone's favorite aunt who's sitting down to coffee with them and giving them all this amazing both encouragement and expert opinion about how to have sex when you're a senior. So there's so many great tips in here. And also then there are two couples who are senior couples. There's Bonnie and Joel, and there's Marlene and Galen. And Bonnie and Joel have been together for a while. What I love about this couple is that it's interesting because she says, oh, he's a really great communicator and it's very easy to communicate with him. But they're both really good communicators.
Yes.
And they both have such a clear idea about what they want and what they need. And it seems like everyone is on board with just being able to say what it's like, you know, hey, I'm totally feeling in the mood now, or I'm not feeling in the mood at all. Bonnie has chronic pain and fibromyalgia. And so there are times when, and a bad back. So there are times when they can't get in certain positions, or she can be in a certain position, but only for a little while. I just love to see them kind of modeling this amazing, loving communication.
That's one of my favorite parts about this film, is how they modeled communication. Because when people ask me, and people ask me all the time, how do I have a better sex life with my partner? Well, the C word, communicate. And we need to know, we need to learn how to talk about what we need and what our limitations are. And these can change from moment to moment. So it isn't just, okay, I've given you this list about what I like and what I don't like and how I like to do it and what hurts. But that can be different from time to time. So they model it beautifully, where step by step they're talking, they're nuzzling and talking, and they're so tender. I just love their scenes. And you know what was so interesting in the two couples that we got, and I wanted it this way, so I'm very happy that we were able to make that happen, is one couple, Jill and Bonnie, had been together for a long time. They've known each other for half a century. They hadn't been together continually for that time, but they've been together a long time. And the other couple, Galen and Marlene, did not meet until the day of the shoot.
Wow.
And we wanted that because we wanted to show how do you negotiate new sex, the new person. How do you explore how to pleasure each other when you don't know much of anything about each other.
Now, one of the core ideas that you bring up in this film, which FYI, kids, isn't just for seniors, but that I want you to go over, is the difference between spontaneous desire and responsive desire.
That is such an important concept, Tristan. And as you know, it's been popularized by Emily Nagoski and in her book. She's really the expert on that. But to give it in a nutshell, spontaneous desire is where you are hormone propelled and you want to have sex. Everything in your body is propelling you to have sex, body and mind. However, responsive desire means that you may not feel like you're in the mood for sex particularly. You're not against it, but you're not feeling the drive. However, once you get started physiologically, everything kicks in. And the body gets on fire, the mind joins it, the emotions join it, the desire pumps up. So it is responsive desire because it's in response to the physiological arousal. So for people who are older, are my age or a little younger or a little older, they may not feel spontaneous desire because of the hormones have receded. They don't have the testosterone. They don't have the estrogen they used to. So if they are waiting for spontaneous desire to happen, they may never have sex again. On the other hand, if they understand the concept of responsive desire and they think, well, gee, we do enjoy sex when we get to it, so let's just see what happens if we start kissing and touching each other and see if that gets us in the mood. Along with that, it's also important, I think, to schedule sex. Because just because we're retired, if we are indeed retired, and many of us can't afford, we'll never be able to afford to retire, even though we may have more leisure time, we are still busy people. We have a lot of interests. We have a lot of activities. We're aging in a very different way from previous generations. So we need to make time for sex. We need more time. We can't just say, oh, okay, we've got up 20 minutes before the next thing we're supposed to do, so let's fit in a quickie. Well, for now, a quickie might be 40 or 60 minutes.
Let's talk about a reality, which is, especially for women and people with vaginas and vulvas, which is vaginal dryness and in some cases, vaginal atrophy as we age.
Well, yes. One of the big soapboxes that I'm always on is that great sex does not have to mean penis and vagina penetrative sex. It can be all ways of expressing ourselves sexually, things that turn us on, ways we like to be touched, sex toys we like to bring into the bedroom. Whatever arouses us, whatever turns us on, whatever gets us to orgasm is part of our sexual expression. We don't have to have a particular goal that may not be possible for a penis that has erectile problems. It may not be comfortable for a vagina that does not accept penetration comfortably. Definitely we need lubricant. We need a good lubricant for any kind of sexual play because our hormones do not provide that natural lubrication. So that's just a given. That's not a defect. That's a feature.
I like how you say that. Well, also, though, I want to know how I feel like people resist this notion of getting away from intercourse. I feel like this is true of men and women, that they have this idea that this is what really turns me on. This is what makes me feel close to my partner. This is what I've been doing for X amount of years. How do we help people reframe it?
I have another webinar, which is also a workshop if I'm in your city, called Great Sex Without Penetration. That's an hour and a half on how to do exactly that, why we might want to, and then how to go about it, how to explore, as I put it, go on a journey of exploration to see what else might turn us on now, and to see just how to give pleasure. You know, if people who are young, who have no problem with penetrative sex, if they could go on that journey of exploration, expand their notion of what sex is and what great sex is in order to include other ways of arousing ourselves and each other and reaching orgasm. If we could do that young, we would age much more easily. We wouldn't have to suddenly go, oh my God, this thing that I always thought was what I liked the best isn't possible for me now. Do I have to give up on sex? No, you do not. You just need to expand your notion of how to express yourself sexually, what pleases you. Sometimes we don't even know. We may find spots on our body that respond erotically that we didn't even know were erogenous zones, because things change as we age. Our bodies change. Our brains change. Our relationships change. Oh, you got me started on something I don't know when to stop.
No, I love this idea, though, that like the reprogramming should begin young. It shouldn't yes. begin when something on our body has changed drastically. You're actually arguing for the reprogramming of what sex is to begin. Well, I think it should begin as soon as people become sexually active.
I do
right?
too.
We've
I
gotta do too. Get out of this script of penis and vagina intercourse.
Well, you know, with young people, they'll sometimes say, oh, we don't have sex, we just do anal. Hello? Anal is sex.
Yes.
No, we're not sexually active. We just do oral. Oral is sex.
It is sex. Yeah. Yes. Okay, we're going to take another break. Coming up, we're going to talk more about this really groundbreaking, fantastic video. So stay with us. Hey everyone, Tristan here. The Pleasure Chest continues falling in lust in November. This month, their Pleasure Ed program of free sex ed classes features threesomes with Tina Horn, Midori's Dirty Fun Rope Tricks, Advanced Double Penetration, 50 Things to Do with Your Hands, and Edging 101 Erotic Sexual Denial. And forget Black Friday, but do not miss the Pleasure Chest's sexiest sale of the year, which starts Wednesday, November 27th, and runs through Cyber Monday, December 2nd. There'll be 20% off site-wide, plus all Fun Factory products will be 25% off during that time. And that's not all. Enjoy free shipping on all purchases on Cyber Monday, December 2nd. Go to pleasurechest.com to see all the events, take advantage of these super savings, and get your holiday shopping done early. Use promo code Tristan at checkout for a free massage candle with any purchase. That's a great thing to give for Secret Santa or that last-minute holiday hostess gift. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Are you passionate about sex education and want to build your career in the field, but you're not sure how to do it? Or maybe you've begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid. My Sex Educator Bootcamp training programs, Level 1 and 2, are now available online, and they are great for sexuality professionals of all kinds. You'll learn how to develop your vision and mission and communicate them effectively. Discover tools for branding, marketing, networking, media coverage, building your audience, and more. The number one question people ask me is, Tristan, how did you get involved in sex education, and how can I? Well, today is the day to find out. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I've been talking today with Joan Price. I would love to hear from you. What are your experiences of having sex as you age? How long are you having sex? What kinds of sex are you having? Have you experienced sex after grief? I'd love to take your calls on that at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. And you can leave a message 24 hours a day. If you would like to leave a message, but you don't want your voice on the radio, just tell me that and I will transcribe it. Okay, Joan. So as you said, you sort of described these kind of two different couples in the movie. One, a kind of long-term couple, and the other just meeting. And I did feel like as I was watching it, I was like, oh, look, out comes the black lingerie, which, you know, is kind of a, you know, a marker for, oh my gosh, this is going to be a little bit sexy and wild. So the second couple, one of the things that was fascinating about the second couple is Marlene and Galen. Marlene says she's actually more sexually active now than she was when she was younger.
Right.
I think that's unexpected.
Well, you know, anything about sexually active seniors is often unexpected. Now, in my world, it's not unexpected. I just went, yeah, of course. Because many times we grow up with, if we are seniors now, we grew up with a real lack of sex education and a real sex-shaming attitude about it. And often we thought, okay, what we want is marriage, and we will, of course, be faithful to our spouses forever, and we will die in each other's arms, and that will be wonderful. Well, life doesn't treat us that way. We may have the best plans, but life interferes, or death interferes. So I often hear from people who are more sexually active after menopause, if they are vulva owners, than they were earlier when they were afraid of their own sexuality, afraid of pregnancy. They were maybe in a long-term marriage that might have been or might not have been satisfying. Often when couples married young and hadn't gotten good sex education, and we grew up before the age of the internet, realize we didn't have a place to find sex education if we didn't get it in the home or if our friends weren't knowledgeable, and usually our friends were as misguided as we were, then we didn't know what was possible. I came of age not knowing that the clitoris existed, and I was... I tell the story a lot, so I won't go through it all again, but my father was a gynecologist, and the only thing that I learned about sex was how girls get pregnant and why I shouldn't do it. Learned nothing about pleasure. I learned nothing about a capacity for pleasure. So when I was necking, as we called it in those days, which is extended kissing, if people have never heard of that, with my first boyfriend, and I got aroused, I thought I had invented something. I had no idea that that's just the way the body works and the way the brain works. I didn't know.
Well, speaking of doctors, you have this very direct and specific script that you give people in the movie. If they are seeing a doctor and have a question and want to bring up their sexual health and that person kind of shies away from it, or I think in some cases the patient themselves doesn't know how to bring it up, will you share that kind of script with us?
Oh, I certainly will. Will you repeat it after me along with your listeners?
Yes, I will. Okay.
Repeat after me. Doctor.
Doctor.
My sexuality is important to me.
My sexuality is important to me.
Here's what's interfering with it.
Here's what's interfering with it.
Let's run the tests.
Let's run the tests.
And find out what's going on.
And find out what's going on.
And if you can't help me.
And if you can't help me.
Please refer me to someone who can.
Please refer me to someone who can. I like it. I feel like people need and want scripts, especially when talking to people in positions of power. You often get in there and you feel like, oh my God, how am I going to advocate for myself? I'm embarrassed. I'm freaked out. I don't want to offend them. Blah, 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 all that tape. So I love this. I love this idea that you make it a priority. Here's how you say it. And then you wait and see. They're either going to step up to the plate or they're going to be like, at your age, I don't really think we should be talking about this. Let's talk about your high blood pressure or whatever. Then you got to find another doctor.
That's right. You divorce your doctor and move on. Exactly. And I teach that, what I call my medical mantra, to all of my workshops. Every time I give a talk, people end up repeating that after me and they yell it out. I did this once in the Netherlands with a group of about 100 college-age students. And they all learned the medical mantra. It was an international university. So they learned it in English first, and then they repeated it in their own language. It was thrilling.
I love that.
Languages going on, and they're saying the same thing in different languages and yelling it out because it really is empowering.
We're almost out of time. So I want to be able for you to give some of your amazing quick tips, which you give in the film, which will make people feel empowered to sort of go out and improve their sex life, especially as a senior, right after they finish listening to this podcast.
Okay, some quick tips that you can use right away. First of all, don't have sex after a meal, because the digestive system is getting the blood flow rather than your genitals. So have sex first, then eat. However, before sex, exercise, because exercising increases blood flow, brings it to the genitals as well as to the brain and the muscles, and will enhance your arousal.
I like this one for anyone. Go on a swift walk before having sex. I like this idea.
Exactly. So you exercise first, then have sex, then eat, and this will automatically, I think, in my view, and I'll bet you'll reinforce that, improve your sex life.
I love those two. I also like to have sex before I eat. I mean, again, I feel like some of these tips, Joan, really do apply across the board for folks.
Absolutely.
And you also say have sex at the time when you feel you have the most energy. I'm going to Mexico. I'm in Mexico as this airs, actually. And one of the things I like to tell people is if you're interested in having sex with me, you have to know that after 9:30 or 10, it's not going to happen. I don't do my best work. So come to me early and let me know so that we can have an afternoon date, because at night is not when I do my best work.
Exactly. And we need to understand that about ourselves.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I could talk to you for days, Joan.
Let's do that.
I want to remind people how they can get you. They can go to joanprice.com. Also, you are at Joan Price on Twitter.
Yes.
Are you at Joan Price with all one word?
Yes.
Okay, great. And Joan Price Author on Facebook. Are you on Instagram?
I'm not on Instagram.
We should get you on Instagram, Joan. It's where it's happening.
I've been told that.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Tristan. You're wonderful.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, you can catch me on social media at Tristan Taramino. The show is on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And in the meantime, take some time to talk about sex. Sex at any age, out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.